The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. The Bible says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." This is the Christian's instruction on how to live under ungodly kings. When Peter's writing this, Nero is on the throne. Nero is the Caesar, and he's saying, "I want you to love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." And he said, "I just want you to live peaceably in your life, but listen, I want you to serve God. Remember, the king has his place. The government has its place. All of the authorities have their place. But you are the servant of God." And he tells us how to do it. And let me just tell you this, without any stutter today, if you will live by this instruction, no matter what is going on in the world, you will always be at peace. Today I want to show you from God's word how to have peace in the storm. Or remaining at peace in a storming world. Everyone around you can be in unrest, but not the people of God. Jesus said, "I give you my peace." And you can be at peace today. Father, I pray that you'll bless these next few minutes as we open your word, that you'll speak to us, that we'll hear your voice, not my voice, but that through this today, every student would know that Jesus spoke to my heart today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're living in a very turbulent time, obviously. It's a crazy thing. I overheard today just phone calls and conversations going on about all the different debates of politics and COVID-19 and vaccines and masks and all the things that people are fighting over today. And we just live in a time of civil unrest. I mean, you know, we're seeing people who are being arrested for gathering at a church, or parents who are being called domestic terrorists for going to a school board meeting. And yet, we've seen in our culture today people who are holding civil unrest, and they're rioting in the street and burning down buildings. And it's okay for one, but not okay for the other. And it's just a day of confusion. And people have said oftentimes, "Man, the world is so confused today." And I want to say, no, the world is not confused today. The world is lost. The church is confused today. The world is lost. They are like a blind man looking for the sunlight in a cave while they're grasping around. They cannot find it. And you and I who hold the light, the church of Jesus Christ today, is the one that really is confused. The world is looking for answers, and the church is stuttering today. And Jesus has called us into this world to live his life in this world and bring peace. And I want to tell you today, you can do that. Listen, civil unrest is the drumbeat of Satan. It is one of his tools that he has used in high places and governments and media to continue to cause the world to be in unrest. He's always been that way. He is a divider. He's a disruptor. He's a destroyer. He's a deceiver. And the devil will lie to you. He'll promise you everything and deliver you nothing but misery, heartache, and death. We can see today that the world is clamoring for peace. Today, there's anarchy and war and drugs, and we have a massive epidemic today of alcoholism and drug abuse, and we're seeing it worse and worse because the world is looking for comfort somewhere, and they don't know where to find it, and they're desperately seeking for peace. And I want to say, sadly, many Christians are fearful and anxious and worried and unsettled. I mean, you talk to Christians, and we're popping the pills. We're taking the uppers and the downers and the Xanaxes and all that just to get through the day. And that is not how the Lord Jesus saved us. And that's not what, to the end that he saved us. He told us over and over again, be careful for nothing. Hey, listen, don't worry about where you're going to live and what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat. I mean, just look at the flowers. Look at the fowl of the air. Look at all of the things that I've made. I care for it. And can I tell you, have you ever just stepped outside on a morning and just heard the birds singing? And ever thought, who fed all those birds today? I mean, God has fed every bird in the world today. He knows how to take care of the birds. He can take care of you. And Christians are wringing their hands, and we are no different in many respects than the world in the fact that we're so anxious and worried about the future. And I want to tell you, Christian, do not fear. Do not fear. And this is what Peter's saying. Peter said, look, you can give honor to all men. You can give honor to the king as long as you fear God. You can be at peace if God is God and he's on the throne. Jesus told us that in Matthew 6. He said, you don't need to worry about all those things. That's what the unsaved worry about. He said, your father knows what you have need of before you ask him. He knows how to take care of his people. The world is clamoring for peace. Many years ago, there were some artists that were hired to paint a picture of peace. And I'm sure you've heard the story, but the artists began to all give their depiction of peace. And some of them painted beautiful ponds with a little swan and its family swimming behind it, and butterflies lighting on the flowers, and a blue sky with a cloud and a rainbow, and just it looked, and the man who hired these looked at that. He said, "That's not peace. That's tranquility. I'm looking for peace." One artist painted a picture of the sky filled with storm clouds, lightning flashing. When you looked at that picture, you could almost feel the roar of the thunder. There was a massive cliff with water crashing over it in this waterfall, the mist of that water. The picture, when you looked at it, almost you could hear the roar of the thunder and the water. You could almost feel the mist. You could see the turmoil in the atmosphere. It was a very violent-looking and dark-looking picture. And everybody thought, how in the world is that peace? But when you looked into the picture, behind the waterfall, tucked in a crevice of the rocks, safe from the storm, out of the crash of the water, was a little bird sitting in its nest. With all the world in turmoil around it, that bird was at perfect peace. And I want to tell you something right now. You can live like that in a turbulent world. But here's what you're going to need to know. There's a few things you need to know. Number one, you need to remember who you are. Let's all say that together. You need to remember who you are. Say that with me. You need to remember who you are. Look at the Bible says in verse number 11 of 1 Peter 2, dearly beloved. Let me tell you who you are. You're God's beloved children. You're a child of God. You need to constantly remind yourself who you are. 8 different times in this book, Peter reminds us of God's love for us. In verse number 11 of chapter 2, he calls us the dearly beloved. In chapter 4 and verse number 12, Peter wrote this. He said, beloved, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you. In 2 Peter 1, 7, in 2 Peter 3, 1, in verse 8, and all the way through that chapter, verse number 14, and verse number 15, and verse number 17 of 2 Peter chapter 3, you'll find him using the term beloved, 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 beloved. Now let me ask you a question. What makes you so beloved of God? Why are you loved of God? Well, I'll tell you why. Because he loves his son. And he said of his son, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. God loves His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He loves His Son, and He's well-pleased in His Son. He finds no fault in His Son. He is the perfect Son. And God has set His affection on the Son. He has set His favor on the Son. He loves His Son. And then here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 1:6, that God has made you accepted in the Beloved. That God has put you into Christ. Can I tell you something? Listen to me very carefully. You better be very careful what you set your identity in. Your identity is not in your title. Listen, I pastor Front Range Baptist Church, but my identity is not in being a pastor. I could lose that tomorrow. I'm married to a beautiful wife and a godly Christian woman, and I'm so thankful for 25 years with my wonderful wife. But let me tell you, my identity has not just been being Michelle's husband. I could lose her tomorrow. I've got 3 beautiful girls. My identity is not in being a preacher. My identity is not in, I could have an aneurysm or a stroke tomorrow and not ever be able to preach the Word of God again. I want to tell you what my identity is. I am a child of God. I have been born again. And when the Bible says, when I received Him, He has given me power to become the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And listen, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And I want to tell you that God has put Christ into you. He has put you into Christ. And right now, you, in God's mind, are seated in the right hand with Him in heavenly places. And when God sees Christ, He sees you. And when God sees you, He sees Christ. And God loves Christ, therefore God loves you. That is the identity of a Christian. And see, some of us have forgotten who we are. I'm a child of God. And can I tell you today that that was a surprising development when Jesus taught His disciples to pray, and He said to them, let me teach you how to pray. When you pray, say this. Say, Our Father. The Jews didn't know how to pray like that. The Jews, God was behind the veil. They had to wear the yarmulke or the hat to separate them from God. God was too holy. We had to have a divider. Well, I want to tell you, when Jesus died, He tore that divider and He brought you in and He set you down at the right hand of God in Himself, and He made you a dearly beloved. And God put His Son in you. We need to be mindful of who we are in Christ. Let me just say this for just a moment, because I'm a dad of girls. This has always been something very meaningful to me. But every girl is meant to have a dad. And she's meant to have a relationship with a dad that is pure and wholesome. And she needs the strength of her dad. There may be some girls today that you don't have that in your life. And that's not the way God intended it to be. But there was a girl like that one time. Her name was Mary. She had been rejected and abused, and she had been so misused by men in this world that she was a depleted, possessed woman. She was filled with devils. And then she met a man one day who loved her like nobody had ever loved her. And he saved her, and he freed her, and he loved her with a pure love. He ministered to her and taught her. And everywhere we see Jesus, we see Mary. She washed His feet. She ministered to Him. In fact, it was her that did not flee at the time of crucifixion. And if it wasn't for Mary Magdalene, we may not have known where Jesus was buried. But she stayed. And 2 secret disciples, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who no one even knew were disciples, came and got the body of Christ and took Him to a tomb to put Him in Joseph's tomb. And Mary followed and marked the place where He was. And then after the Sabbath, she came back to anoint His body, and He was gone. The tomb is empty, and she saw the gardener, and she said, "Sir, where have they laid Him? I must find Him. Where have they laid Him?" And He said, "Mary." And she immediately knew it was Jesus, and she rushed to Him, and He said, "Mary, don't touch Me. I've not yet ascended to My Father. Don't touch Me." And Jesus was about to do to Mary what every other man had done to Mary. He was about to leave her. And in John 20, we see one of the most remarkable examples of the gentleness of Jesus. Because He looked at Mary and He said, "Now, Mary, I want you to go to My disciples and tell them that I ascend to My Father and your Father." Jesus knew that he was about to leave, and he told Mary, he said, Mary, you have a daddy. And you can come to him and you can say, Abba, Father. And I want to say to every girl in this room today that may not have a dad, you have a father. And he loves you. And your identity is in him. And I want to say to every young person in this room today, do not let the world mark you, and do not find your identity in something cheap. Your identity is you are a child of God, and you are dearly beloved. Do you know what the Lord's doing with right now with your salvation? He's conforming you to Jesus. God's whole plan in salvation was to conform you into the image of his dear son. I mean, listen, you're looking at a guy that one of these days is going to be just like Jesus. I'm going to be perfect in every way. I'm going to have a life just like his. God is shaping me and making me more like Christ. My identity is in Jesus. And come what may, whatever happens in the future, I want to tell you, nothing can take that away. I am a child of God. If you're going to have peace in this world, you better remember who you are. Number two, you better remember where you are. Now look what the Bible says in verse 11. Dearly beloved, you're the children of God, but I want to beseech you because you are strangers and pilgrims. You need to remember where you are. You are a stranger. What is a stranger? A stranger is somebody who is in a foreign land. There's somebody away from home. A stranger is somebody who is out of their country. They are in a strange and foreign land. Man, several years ago, I traveled to Iraq. Our church was starting a church in northern Iraq, and I traveled there with the missionary. And listen, it was September of 2016. ISIS was in Mosul, and they were in Mosul, and we were gearing up for the release of Mosul. And my hotel room looked over the lights of Mosul 11 kilometers away. I've never prayed more in my life. But I was in Iraq, we were there, and I was in a foreign country. And I want to tell you something. If you've never been to a foreign land where nobody speaks your language, nothing is written in your language, everything is different. They eat different. They talk different. Their culture's different. They dress different. Everything's different. I want to tell you, I did not fit in very well. And the Bible tells us that that's who we are. God's dear children are strangers in this land. We do not fit in well with this world. They have a different language than us. They have a different life than us. They have different customs than us. They have a different culture than us. They have a different goal than us. Listen, they are heading a different direction from us. They were born once. We were born twice. They're going into hell. We're on our way to heaven. They are still in their sins. We've been delivered. We have a new life. They're in their old sins and their old life. And I want to tell you, we're in a strange land. And we are in a foreign land, and you need to remember that you are not home. You're in a foreign land. You're a stranger, but not only that, you're a pilgrim. A stranger is somebody away from home, but a pilgrim is someone headed home. And you're on your way home. We're on our way. This world is not my home. I am just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'm heading for heaven. And my heart is fixed on it. My eyes are fixed on it. I am looking unto Jesus, and I'm marching towards that land. I am a stranger, and I'm a pilgrim. And right now, I want you to understand, I am in hostile territory. You need to have the mindset that you are a temporary resident here. You know, it was a beautiful accommodations at the Rand House. I checked into the Rand House. I got my own little room key. It's got $100 on it. I didn't even know that until today. I got to start spending this thing. And I can walk in there. I walk in the Rand House. I walked in my room, and it's a beautiful place. It's nicer than any Marriott. And I walked in there. There's a little fruit basket. But I will tell you what I did not do. I did not tape the pictures down in there and hang my pictures up. And I didn't order new carpet, and I didn't put my furniture in there. I didn't do anything in there to make it mine. You know why? Because I'm only going to be here for 2 days. And I did not set all of my affections on that room. And I want to tell you, you better not set all your affections on this earth because you're only here for a little while. Lay up treasure, not here, but there. Live for there. Live for there. You need to remember where you are. You're living in a hostile world. You know, most people want to just try Christianity because they want Christianity to fix their life now. You know, one great Christian author, I say great, but he's well known, but he's not a great author. But he wrote a book called My Best Life Now, or Your Best Life Now, and how you can live your best life now. And I want to tell you, this is not my best life. My best life is coming. There's going to be a day when I'm going to serve God with no sin, no pride, no arrogance, no angle, nothing for myself. I'm not going to ever fail him. I'm going to have a life one of these days where I am perfect and I can serve God with a pure heart, with no sin, and I'm going to have a wonderful life there. But many people say, well, I'll try Christianity if it'll fix my marriage. Or I'll try Christianity if it'll make me rich. Or I'll try Christianity if it'll help me with my personal problems. Well, I want to just tell you this. Most of the time when you get saved, your troubles begin. Because all of a sudden now you're floating, you're swimming upstream. Any dead fish can go downstream. But now a Christian's going against the culture. You're going to, hey, listen, by the way, if you've never run into the devil, it might be that you're going the same direction. But if you're going the wrong way in this world, you're going to meet some opposition. But this is not our best life. So you need to remember where you are. Paul remembered where he was. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said this, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I mean, listen, if Jesus is just going to save me to give me a better house and more money and I'm still going to die and that's it, then I'm just a miserable man. But let me tell you this, if I have hope in the life after and I'm on my way to heaven, then the light affliction, which is but for a moment, is not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits us. We are on our way to heaven. Number three, remember who you are, dearly beloved. Remember where you are. You are in a foreign land. Number three, you need to remember what you're doing. What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're fighting a spiritual war. This is where many Christians fail. We forget that we're in a war and we're walking around so casually. You know why there's so many Christian casualties? Because we're going about our Christianity so casually. We're to get up every day with the armor of God. We're to get up every day knowing that we're in hostile territory. Look in verse number 11. He said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. We are soldiers in a battle between God and Satan, good and evil, between sin and righteousness. And we are to win this war to condemn the world. That's what Noah did. Noah stood and he preached the gospel. And they rejected that, and by Noah's righteousness, he was a condemnation to the world. He showed the world that God was right. Now, I'm going to say, you and I are not to go out and condemn the world. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. Jesus did not condemn the world, but he also didn't condone the world. But I'll tell you what he did. He confronted it. Jesus confronted the world. He confronted the world with itself and with truth. And you as a Christian are to confront the world with righteousness. Listen, we're to go into this world and we're to confront the world with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our battle is not with the people around us. Listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. This will help you in the life to not in world to not lose your peace. You are not in a war with the people around you. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who our fight is with. It's not, listen, you are not to be in a battle with the people around you. You are to be in a battle with the passions within you. We are warring against the fleshly lusts. We're in a foreign land, and there's something in us that wants everything that's in this world, and we have to go to war with that. And we have to go to war with our own passions so that we can be different and we can be a marked people, so that we can show the people in this world that there is a difference and a different way, and that Christ is that answer. That's our job. And then let me close with this. You need to remember not only who you are and where you are and what you're doing. You're in a spiritual war. You're in a fight. You're in a battle every day. But fourthly, you need to remember why you're doing it. Why are we in this land and why are we in this war? Why didn't God just save me and take me to heaven? That would have been a lot easier. If I would have just gotten saved and gone, and I could just go to heaven. But let me just tell you, young people, listen to me very carefully. God did not save you primarily to get you into heaven. He saved you to get heaven into you. You know, I've often thought about this. I want to get to heaven one day and I want to say, David, what was it like when you fought Goliath? Like, were you scared? Because I know I would have been scared. David, were you really so scared that when you threw the stone, it went that way and God had to grab it and bring it back and hit Goliath? Like, I want to ask him that. But you know what I'm afraid of? When we get to heaven, we're going to go up to, hey, Abraham, what was it like to follow God through the wilderness? Moses, what was it like to see the Red Sea part? And I think some of those Old Testament characters are going to say, no, wait. Yeah, we'll get to that. I'll tell you all about Goliath in a minute. But let me ask you a question. What was it like to have God living in you? What was it like to have God make you his temple? That every time you went to class, you took God in class. Every time you went to your dorm, God was in you. Every time you went to bed, God was in you. Oh, listen. This is why you're doing it. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you. And you do it for one reason, and here it is. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God. Young people, listen to me. You are the children of God in a foreign land. You are to be waging a spiritual warfare with the sin in you so that you can have God revealed in you so that you can win the world to Christ. And it doesn't matter if you're in criminal justice, graphic design, interior design. It doesn't matter if you're a nurse, a doctor, anything that you do, a teacher, an educator. It matters not. You need to carry God with you into that. And you need to show the world that Jesus is the answer. And if you'll do that, you'll be at peace. And you'll win many to Christ. Hey, let's go forth from here and let's go live as the children of God.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.